But we've been talking about discipling because that's what we do as a church. And what does it mean to say we're a discipling church, a people that disciple? And last week we talked about we're coming into the year 2022 and lots of twos in 2022. 22-2, and we talked about the fact that part of discipling and when it means that we're discipling, it's a team thing. You do it together. In fact, can we put up the slide? I said in 2022, we're discipling together. It's all the twos. We're doing it together because that's twos. So when you think of anything time you hear 2022, you say we're going to do this together. I'm discipling with other disciples. It's not something that we just do by ourselves. We follow Jesus together. He always calls us together. And so we talked about the benefits of flowing together as disciples and what it means and the benefits of working as a team. And I went through those five different things, which when you're working together, there's an increase in our ability to what we can get done, the anointing upon us, the ability to when you're working as a team in the body of Christ, you know a hand and an eye can do way more than a hand can just by itself, more than even twice, because it's now combining with other things, and together we can get the job done. And, one of the things I've been studying last year was when people come together in teams, there's a special anointings and giftings on different people, and if you don't have all the people working together, and no one has all the strengths, you know what I mean? That's part, except for me, says Brooke. Give that girl a gold star. You get a pass even before the exam, all right? You know how to work the system. Yeah, Brooke just called out, except for me. Brooke, I don't want to crush you, but even I don't have all the gifts. Even I don't have strengths in every area, different people have different strengths which you bring to it, and then you put together, and those strengths work amazingly. And so we've been looking and studying at what are some of those strengths are, so that we can help people embrace their strengths. And not one of the problems is often when you've got a strength in an area, you often have weaknesses in others. And so you've got to learn how to compensate for that. You know, there are some people, great visionaries, but often visionaries are not good at finishing, because it's like, we just want to keep pushing into new areas. So you've got to be able to work together but some people can become consumed with the fact, I'm not a finisher, so it's a weak point, so I put all my effort into my weakness. Whereas God just wants you often to shine as your strength, but use the body of Christ to work together to bring those things together. Otherwise, you've got to cut back on your strength and lift up a weakness instead of doing what you're called to do and doing it with all your heart in conjunction with others. And those other people can have the strength that you don't have, and you can be the strength that they don't have, and together you can get the job done. So these are some of the benefits that we have as we work together. But I wanted to share, sometimes you can get the idea that when the benefits are just being together, like any group can get these benefits, and that's true. There's benefits in teamwork. There's benefits in a team working together. But we are not just talking about any team or any group. We're talking particularly about discipling, and there's things that you can have a group of people together, but that doesn't make you let me just take a step back. In the Bible, the Greek word for church is a word which means a gathering and a group together. And I remember hearing a sermon many years ago that said, so when we say church, we're just saying a gathering. They said any gathering is technically a church. So, people gather for the football, they're a church, people gather. And I'm like, no, you can't switch it over. Do you know what I mean? A church is a gathering, but not every gathering is a church. All right? You can't reverse that's using a logical fallacy. An apple is round and red, but not everything that's round and red is an apple. All right? It could be a cricket ball, and cricket balls don't do well in fruit salads. Just because a church is a gathering doesn't mean that every gathering is a church. Because it is a gathering. It's a gathering of people, but it's a gathering of people that have some specific characteristics. And one of them is that they're gathered under the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are gathered together here in the name of Jesus. You know, when they go to the football, they're not gathered in the name of Jesus. So therefore, they're not what we would call the Church of Jesus Christ. They're not a local church. They might be a gathering, but they're not a church. And I was, you know, thinking about that if we're not careful, when I'm talking about the benefits of teamwork and the benefits of doing things together, we can think, that applies to any team. But no, we're not any team. We are a team who are discipling. And I wanted to share you some of the things that will be manifest and seen because we are a group of people together who are discipling together. And these will be the manifestations. This is how you know that you're not just a group of individuals who have come together, but you're actually a people who are discipling the Church of Jesus Christ. If you see these elements, you'll recognize, that makes us a difference. Because, you know, when you go to the football, there is a group of people and there'll be some similarities. You know, that you're going together, you're sitting down, you're watching a spectacle, you maybe even cheer. You know, there's some things that, you know, maybe not some churches, they don't do the cheering, but our church, we're probably similar to a football game at times, you know. You know, when but, you know, there's similarities, but there's some clear differences. And there's some things which are distinctions. So I wanted to talk about some of the things that you will know is what is seen when disciples get together. Because these are the things you need to lean into in order for 2022 to be a year of the manifestation of the discipleship. If you're going to be a disciple, not just a casual follower, these are the things you need to expect and these are the things you need to lean into. So we connect together. So let's start at number one. First thing you will see when disciples gather together is love. And in John chapter 13, we referenced this last week, John 13, verse 35 says, "By this all men will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another." I can tell you this, you can have a group of people gather for the football, and love is not always the manifest anointing, especially if you've got teams of you know, the supporters of two different teams there mixed together. Sometimes it's the opposite of love. Sometimes, you know, I remember one of our kids went to a soccer match in Melbourne, and they said, "Wow, I've never been in a crowd. You know, I've been in football crowds where we had two team supporters, but it said it was actually scary. The hostility between the two supporter groups was actually, this is a number of years ago, so maybe it's a little bit better in Melbourne now, I'm not saying, but back then they said it was actually a really weird sensation, the absolute hostility between the two groups in that stadium. They said it made me very uncomfortable. I didn't like being there. It was not like, oh, wow. You know, whereas we can go to another team and you can have, you know, the two supporter groups, but it's all in good spirit still. But, so I'm just saying you can have a crowd and a group together. Doesn't mean there's love there. It can be the opposite. And we know we're doing discipling right when love is what is being manifest amongst us. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't have a difficulty in it, you know, that we've never had something, I've never done something a bit grumpy or something, you don't show love. I'm not saying that we've got it 100%, but I'm saying the undercurrent and the strength of what we do is love. We do this because we love each other. We do this because we are gathered together, not just because, I'm a Collingwood supporter. Yeah. And I can go to a football match with other Collingwood supporters even, but I'm not saying there's love between us. There's a common passion for the football. But I don't really, you know, they don't necessarily care for each other. You know what I mean? And the difference between coming to a church where you are just a part of a crowd is where you just sort of, I'm here to get the word and I'm away. But disciples come because we love each other and we are connected. And I am actually aware of those around me and I become connected with them. And there's an element of serving and loving there. And I've discovered, I'm working my way through this, that the concept of love is, you know, in the Western world, we have a on or off, you love or you don't love, you know. And, you know, we have the concept, you know, when our eyes met, I fell in love type, bang, you're in love. You know, and I know there's one ministry when they say that they say be very wary of falling in love because people who fall in love can fall out of love. No, you've got to grow in love. In other words, you've got to learn to appreciate that person's character and calling and who they are, and you say, I have come to love them. Do you know what I mean? And that rather than in the Western mind, we've got this emotional click, oh, I'm in love. And I don't care who knows it. I'm in love. You know, it's just this thing that turns on and off. But I'm discovering that love is multiple levels and multiple degrees and you've got okay. Let me give you this example. The Pharisees, it says, Jesus said, because the Pharisees would say they love God. You know, they say we love God. You know, they have committed their lives to serving God. Effectively, they're full-time ministers. They love God. But Jesus says, but you love the praises of men more than God. All right? So it's not just on or off. It's what do you, you know, what's your love order? So you can love something, but you've got to love something more. And so I, you know, we can love something, but ultimately we've got to say, but ultimately I love God more than I love this, which and more than I love that, and more than I love this. Love is not just on or off. It has to have a pecking order. And there's levels of love. I think it's really interesting. If you look in John chapter 13, verse 23, I don't know whether you've ever thought about this. Let me just read it. Therefore was reclining on Jesus' breast, leaning back when they're having this meal, and Jesus is talking to them about this whole thing, which he eventually says, love one another. And it says, there was reclining on Jesus' breast, one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. Now, do we know who he was referring to? Does anyone know who the disciple was? There's multiple references. John. Okay, so the disciple that wrote this book referred to himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved. Has anyone ever thought that's a little bit... I want to clear it. First of all, I have a theory, and I haven't been able to prove this theory, but this is my theory, because I think it's about five or six times in the book of John, whenever it refers to him, John, it always refers to as the disciple whom Jesus loved. You do realize that when the Bible was written, the people writing the Bible, like John or Paul or Matthew, didn't actually do the writing. They had scribes that did that. In fact, I think it's in the book of Romans. If you're like, what? One of them got his name in the Bible. Okay, in you don't have to turn here, but Romans 16, Paul's talking, greet this person, greet this person, and Timothy, my fellow worker, greets you, and so do Lysias and Jason and Sosipater, my kinsman. So all these people are getting there, hey, say hi for me, say hi for me. And the guy writing it says, and I, Tertius, who write this letter, greet you too, greet you in the Lord. He's like, I put my name in there too. Hi! He got his own line in the Bible. That was not Paul's inspiration. That was his. Romans 16. I, Tertius, who write this letter, greet you in the Lord. I got a line in the Bible. Who here could say, I got a line in the Bible? When you go to heaven, he will have a sign, one of the biblical authors above his dwelling place. And you're going, which one are you again? I don't remember the book of Tertius. I was there. I did. I had one line. That was mine. My inspiration, my anointing, and it survived. All right. But it tells me that they did not often write. In fact, in the book of Galatians, Paul would often they would write the final greeting in their own handwriting as a form of a signature. So Paul says, notice how heavily I'm pressing on the pen as I do this greeting. It's like, I want to show you how emotional I am about this situation. So my theory is, I'm coming back, my theory is that John didn't write down his gospel. He was dictating it and someone was writing it. And this is my theory. Every time he referred to himself, the writer in honor for John wrote the disciple whom Jesus loved. Yeah, that was his phrase for John. Rather than just write his name John, he wrote the disciple whom Jesus loved as a mark of respect for John. Can't prove it, but I think it's... Oh, maybe the angel's saying, no, that's wrong. Trip over the cord. So anyway, that's why my theory. I don't think he was saying that about himself. I think someone said it about him. Either way, it doesn't matter. It's in there. The disciple whom Jesus loved. So that's the first thing. But the second thing is, wouldn't that apply to all the disciples? As opposed to the disciples he hated? You know, how can you refer to someone as the disciple whom Jesus loved and make that a distinction? Aren't they all loved? In fact, could that be referring to me? Because I'm the disciple whom Jesus loved. Is he referring to me in here? No. He was referring to a particular person, but he used the phrase, which meant that we would take, well, he must have loved him uniquely. And how could Jesus love someone differently? Well, I'm telling you, that's because Jesus loves the world. Jesus loves the church, and Jesus loves you. And we sort of say, Jesus, get this right. When Jesus was on the earth, he did love the Pharisees because he was dying for them. He's showing ultimate love to them, but he didn't love being with them. And they never referred to the Pharisees as those that Jesus loved. He did love them, but with a different type of love that was only available for that someone who was able to be close to him. So there was love that you can have for the world, but then there's love for those that open their hearts to you and you can love them. So we say we love everyone equally. I'm not sure that's a great concept. I don't think that's possible. I don't think God loves everyone equally, because otherwise you couldn't have the disciple whom Jesus loved. He has the same love available for all. He has the same love that ultimately means that he went to the cross for everybody. But John so touched his heart and got close to him, he had a special relationship with him. And he was referred to as the disciple whom Jesus loved. So I'm saying all that to say, we love the world, but there needs to be a level of love for our fellow disciples that even is different. We love everybody, but there's a love that we can have for those that are also following Jesus that can be different, can be expanded on. You know, in Paul, when he was talking to the Galatians, he said, I want to make sure I quote it right. Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we shall reap if we do not grow weary. So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all men, and especially to those of the household of faith. Let's be good to everybody, but let's be especially good to our fellow disciples. Do you see that? It's like we have a general, but then we have something that becomes a little narrower. It's our fellow disciples. Let's love the world, but let's have a special place of love for those that have joined us in following Jesus, because our love can grow to a different level of depth because we are fellow followers of Jesus, and we can work together and mature together and grow and be fruitful together. My love is different to the world, because with the world I'm ministering to the world, but with my disciples I'm ministering with you, not just to you. Together we become the body of Christ and minister to the world. So with the world I have a love where I'm giving to them, but with my disciples I'm having a love where I take my gift and I combine it. In Book of Ephesus, Book of Ephesians, there's a verse there that has caused a lot of concern. It says, wives submit to your husbands, husbands have had that on the fridge for years before that. I think they invented a fridge so sub magnets could be put on there. Do you know what I mean? They had the magnets just waiting for the fridge. This is my saying. I'm just waiting. People had memes before there was an internet, saying, just waiting for the internet so I can get my meme out there. And it's like, wives submit to you. But you do realize, you go back a few verses, and it says to the body of Christ that we are to submit to one another. We're also to submit to one another. And I won't get into how that has been so misused, the husband's and wife's submission, and the whole concept of submission has been, it's just a mess. But the concept, if you do it biblically, if you take what Jesus meant and what Paul meant, it is a beautiful, wonderful, glorious concept. But that same concept is that we as a body submit to one another. Now that means that, see, this is how it works. I've got David, and he's got special giftings and anointings and abilities that God has planted on him. But unless I submit to him and his anointings, we can't be the body. Because we've got to work together, and you know what I mean? And otherwise the hands are like, stop it, get over there, Oh, I'm going over there. No, you will do this, come up here and pick up this. I don't pick this up, I'm a foot. Well, you get up here and get down here and put the boot on. I'm not putting the boot on, I'm a glove, And it's like, oh, that just goes nowhere. And the head's like, will you just submit to each other and work together? Submitting to each other is recognizing each other's giftings and callings and working in that, and not trying to be all things to everybody and be the one and all body. And, maybe you can be the little fingernail on the end, but I'll be everything else, That type of mentality. So disciples love each other, which means that we work and open our hearts to each other, and we have a care for one another and a desire to see each other blessed and minister and grow, which isn't the sort of love that you have when you go to a football game and you sit with a group of other people. I want them blessed. I want them all to come know to Jesus. I want them all to get saved. I want them all to have a good, happy household. But I tell you what, when you get together with a group of disciples all working together, there is an extra level to what I can do and how I grow together. We are all committed to that because we're all committed to Jesus. We're all following him, obviously. So you can't do this with someone who's not following Jesus. It's a level of walking in him. And the world will look on and see the love that we have and say, they're his disciples. They will recognize that love that works in this and how that is manifested and how that is seen. So one of the ways that we've gone from being a crowd to a church, from a mob to a ministry to a, just a group to the people of God who are his discipling together, is that there's love. There's a love for those around you. There's a passion and a concern to stand with them, to pray with them, to help them, to see their giftings manifested and become strong so you together can become strong with them. You don't just walk and do life individually. There's a love that now goes sideways. Let's finish with this verse from Hebrews. Actually, let's just leave it there. Let's just leave it there so that we've got time to develop this. Because there's three other aspects that you will know that we are a group of disciples as opposed to just the group by these manifestations. Number one is love. It will be a manifestation of his love and care. That's why we say, we have fun, friendship, and family. Because those are expressions of love. Friendship, when we say, you know, as a breakthrough, we're friends. We are about, see, when I go to the football, I'm with a group of fellow supporters, but not friends. They're not my friends, they're my fellow supporters. All right? We do not want a group of fellow Jesus supporters coming every Sunday and then leaving. Coming and leaving, coming and leaving. We all just, you know, we all wear the Jesus scarf. Woohoo! And we all sing the Jesus theme song. And we all know Jesus won. And then we all go back to our individual homes and lives. We say, no, no, no. We're developing friendship because friendship is based on loyalty and love and serving and giving. So we're talking about family, fun, family, friendship. Family is, you know, they use that word, you know, like the Collingwood family. But you know what? That's a wish and a hope to make it family. But I don't know, you know, I just know we wear the same jumper, but we're not really family. But I tell you what, family share the same values and family love each other and family care for each other and family submit to one another's needs and cares, and we love. So that's why we talk about fun, friendship, family, because they are manifestations of the discipling process of loving one another and working together. We love one another. So 2022, we're discipling together in love. We're learning to love each other more, to walk out that love. And like I said, you know, that love's got to be developed, and it's got to be, you know, there's different kinds of love and different ways of loving. Jesus, you know, Jesus said when they tried to test him and he was, you know, outsmarting them and then giving such wise answers. And then, so one of the teachers of the law said, you know, what's the greatest commandment? He said, I'll tell you the two. Number one commandment is you've got to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind, and all your strength. Give him everything. God gets the top billing, doesn't matter what area. And then he said, you've got to, what's the second one? Anyone remember the second one? Love your neighbor. But he gave a different definition of how that love works. You don't love your neighbor like you love God. You don't love your neighbor with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and all your strength. Do you see that? You can't love. That's God. That's the love that only God gets. Then there's a love for your neighbor. It's a different kind of love. If it's a different manifestation of love. So how, what type of love do you need to give to someone who is your neighbor? Oh, ooey-gooey romance love. I've got to look at it. I love you. No, you know, your neighbor doesn't want that. In fact, your neighbor, like, you know. Intervention. Just ordering the 12-foot fence between me and my neighbor. You know, I don't want that love. And Jesus said, well, I'll tell you the type of love. You know, did you ever thought the type of love he told you to give your neighbor is a particular type of love? Love your neighbor with the same kind of love that you have for yourself. It's a really unusual type of love. That's a very interesting definition, what type of love. He said, I always knew the Bible told me to love myself. It's not saying that. But it's the love you have for your neighbor is, and it's a reflection of the love you have for your own life moving forward in God and your own acceptance in God and your own growth in God. It's reflected by how you love them. That's a powerful reflection of love. Do you know what I mean? Do I really have to love them like I love myself? Remember, anyway, Philippians chapter 2. Go read it for yourself, the type of love that we're instructed to have for those around us. So love, we've got to grow in the kind of love that we have for each other. Okay? I'm not talking about getting more love. I'm talking about getting more particular love and the love that actually counts in the discipleship. The love that makes us all grow together and be connected together. So 2022, we're discipling together. And we're committed to getting this job done. But I'm not just, at the end of this year, I don't want to stand there and say, Lord, look how I've grown. It's like, look how we've grown. I will not see it as an individual pursuit. but the team together we have worked. And Lord, I've known that I've accomplished discipling because I've become closer to other disciples through this. And my giftings are now interwoven with their giftings, and together we're doing a better job because we're discipling together. 2022, it's all about the twos. Two, together. Let me pray for you. Father, I just thank you. 2022, we're taking a focus on discipling together. Plus, all the Lord, I realize discipling is a bigger thing than just being together. But we are focusing, Lord, and we're going to do this together. We're going to grow in our ability to love one another, walk with one another, submit to one another, serve one another, and together get the mission of discipling the nations done in Jesus' name. And all that, Lord, will bring you much glory. By this will men know. By this will men know that we're truly followers of Jesus, because they'll see the love we have for each other. In Jesus' name.